in the dark, I'm in my dreams. Burn my future floor, my big screens. I'm the daddy with the new feet. In the world like it's meant to be. I'm the king. Let's go. Everything. Bring a change. Make it last.
Welcome back to episode 414 of the Permaculture Pimpcast. We got a little bit different format this time because I'm actually taking the lead on this podcast while Dad is over there on vacation taking a nice little trip. How are you doing, Dad?
I'm good, but this ain't a vacation, son. I just spent more time today handling business than anything else.
Okay. Well, this is, again, episode 414. Today, we're going to be talking about becoming an expat. This show is brought to you by the Sovereign Health Summit. This is going to be in October 27th through the 31st. Promo code TPC will get you 5% off. And that's online tickets and in-person tickets. It's going to be an awesome Barbara O'Neill five-day speaking event, plus a bunch of other awesome speakers there as well. There's going to be Dr. Ely, Logan Duvall, all kinds of awesome people. Can't wait to see you guys there. Again, promo code TPC will get you 5% off. Now, let's get into farm news. So today, as you can tell, I'm in Dad's seat, and Dad is in an undisclosed location at the moment. But for my end, I'm just kind of farm-sitting for my parents. I'm moving the sheep, taking care of the chickens. It's pretty low maintenance with this cycle because you are on a slower grazing pattern and everything. So it's pretty low maintenance on our end. The hardest part is trying to wrangle the dogs, like Milk Boy, Nala, and then that mom's little gangster cat that's going around adjusting the ecosystem outside right now. That's the hardest part of farm sitting for you guys. But that's not much to complain about. And then today, since we are in North Carolina, we went out and tried to get some good food because where I live in DeKalb, Texas, you got to drive to, like, the closest place to get some good food is like one barbecue joint in New Boston. And then other than that, you got to drive to Dallas. So we went to this Butter Punk place for some biscuits and gravy that Dad has talked about before on this podcast, where they make a mushroom gravy. And it was pretty good. That being said, we did, because my daughter, she doesn't eat gluten of any kind. She has allergic reaction every time. So we went to a different restaurant, picked up some gluten-free biscuits for her, and then tried to add it to the Butter Punk mushroom gravy. Hey, y'all, sometimes there is no gluten-free alternative that's worth it, because those gluten-free biscuits were garbage. She took one bite of it, and she's like, no more. And then I was like, all right, hold on, let me try it. And I tried it, and I completely understand. It tasted like sawdust and had the texture of sand. I would rather just take the gluten at that point. Again, while I was in town, like people who watch my channel know that I'm frustrated with the community, or like better said, lack of community within DeKalb, Texas. I live around a bunch of intentionally stupid people. Like, there could be a clear right path to go down, and they will pick the opposite path every single time and brag about picking the wrong path, brag about being stupid. Well, today I just came to the realization that DeKalb, Texas ain't the only doggone place. When we were out in town at Asheville, we were also ran some errands. Like, the drivers, like, you shouldn't have to tell somebody that probably the worst place to stop is in the middle of a four-way stopping section, like a four-way stop sign section. They'll just stop there right in the middle of the intersection, and then as if they're deciding right then and there which direction they're going. And then also we went to running some errands afterwards. We went to the park with the baby, and then afterwards we ran some errands, and it's like people are just like, there's NPCs everywhere. Like, they don't, like, you're looking at them and you're like, you don't understand anything that's happening in this area right now. We'll like look at you, stand in the way, look at you, and then it's like the whole thought just passed. But yeah, I came to that realization today. Other than that, it's been an awesome trip. How about you guys? How's it going for you guys, Dad?
Well, down here, it's, you know, it's crazy. For those that don't know, we're in El Salvador right now. We're honestly juggling a lot of things right now as far as the reason down here. Folks, I never take a vacation. I mean, there's never a thing that's strictly a vacation. It is always a working vacation, no matter where we go. So that's part of what I'm doing in El Salvador. Some of it, I'm hoping to be able to interview Dr. Jack Cruz. His wife is working on that for me. I'm also wanting to talk to the guys at Beef Back Better, hopefully do some work with them. I'm hoping to link up with some farmers around here. And so far, we've just tried to acclimate. It's funny you mentioned drivers, son. Y'all, I kid you not. The rental car, and there's almost no street signs, no stop signs, no stoplights, no nothing. And I will tell you that there are safer drivers here than there are in the States. I mean, people are on bicycles, mopeds, small vehicles, you name it. And they all get along great, even though there's nobody out there telling them whose turn it is to go at a stop sign. There's, like I said, there's very few stop signs. So number one, the place is very polite. There's a whole lot of poverty around here, but there's also a lot of opportunity that I see. I'm seeing a lot of fields, a lot of farm fields that are mismanaged. And I think in most cases, just like in the United States of Amnesia, the folks just don't know better in a lot of ways. I'm also seeing we're staying at a place that's away from all the other action out there. We're on the beach. I mean, literally, I could throw a rock from my room and hit the beach, but this isn't a vacation resort like you would think of one. This is intentionally, Michelle picked one that was intentionally away from the nightlife, the party, and all the things I ain't into. I just need a place because it gets dark here around 6 o'clock, but the sun's also coming out at 6 o'clock. A lot of sunlight stability. But I'm also looking at other options for places to live. And that's what brings us to the title of this show today. But honestly, so far, I mean, for anybody wanting to come to visit El Salvador, you can get these things they call pupusas. They're like, imagine a pancake with stuff stuffed inside of it, okay? We were at Bitcoin Beach yesterday, and you can eat a whole plate. I mean, Michelle and I both ate for $5. I mean, wow. Pretty crazy. Just a little while ago, I mean, it's funny because the people of El Salvador typically eat Coke and chips, and it shows. But I'm here trying to eat El Salvadorian food. So what am I eating? I mean, just a little while ago, I had a fish and some local vegetables and the rice, you know, things that they eat in a traditional diet. But you'll find out that most of the people don't eat that stuff. But that's what I came here to eat and to get a real feel for the bottom. Because honestly, folks, I mean, I'll talk more about this, I think, on Sunday. I think that's what my front porch talk is going to be on Sunday. So I'm going to hit the highlights here, but there is a reason I'm here. Like I said, interview some people, talk to some farmers, look at some land, and find out whether or not this is a good fit for us. Because if you haven't heard the latest today, and the only ones that are actually in agreement with this are going to be the Trump tards. And that's exactly what you are at this point. The man just did an executive order for glyphosate. And I'm looking at videos all over Twitter right now showing him actively saying on the campaign trail that he was going to get rid of all this stuff falling from the sky and all the stuff on our food. I mean, this guy, you know what, son? Honestly, I can't even believe I'm about to say it. But I honestly think America might have been better served if they voted for Kamala Harris at this point, because they would have been up in arms if she did a fraction of what this guy's doing. And now here it is. We got an entire armada or two heading over to the Middle East. I mean, I got a feeling that there's a lot of people in this audience that may wind up being my neighbor down here if I decide to pull the trigger on it, I guess pun intended. So there's a whole lot that I'm baking into this cake out here. Once I kind of get my thoughts together, I'll talk about it more. But yeah, I'm down here in El Salvador, and I'm seriously thinking about some other places. Is it the best place in the world? It's certainly the safest. Now, people are going to argue with whether or not President Bukele did the right thing the way he did it. I think I'm in favor of it. But honestly, there are no mafiosos running around on the street. They were stealing roughly $300 a month from each person around here. So now these people have automatically got a raise. Everybody's happy. I'm sure there's a lot of poverty going around, but it doesn't change overnight. But you know what? At least they got a president down here that's willing to put people in jail. Here we are defending pedophiles. Maybe I'm going a little bit too far too quick, but honestly, that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm like, okay, what makes sense? Is it Mexico? And guess what I haven't seen, son? The whole time we've been here so far, I haven't seen a single chemtrail.
Wow.
Not one. And for
does that mean they don't have planes down there, Dad?
Well, funny you mentioned that, son, because here I am as the crow flies, maybe 6 miles away from the airport. Now, if this stuff is in the jet fuel, then wouldn't every single airport be clogged up to the brim to the point that you couldn't see from one side to the other? So RFK Jr. and the other people out there pushing that nonsense that it's in the fuel, it's absolutely absurd. No, there hasn't been a single chemtrail since I've been here. Not one. Haven't seen one. Son, you're at my house. What does it look like out there?
It's egregious. Like, where I live in Texas, we usually don't get a whole lot, unless it's right before, like, an actual storm, we don't usually get a whole lot of, like, blatant chemtrailing. Like, it's usually all done at night, and what we see during the day is just a persistent haze. That's mostly what we see, I would say, out of 10 days, probably 7 of the 10 days, that's usually what's going on. Here, it has been a nonstop bombardment of just constant chemtrails. I mean, the other day, like, if you looked up in the sky, you're going to see a quilt pattern following a wave pattern. Like, there's waves going through this quilt pattern in the sky, and you can't get these idiots to even look up. It's like, okay, a lot of people move to this part of the United States because of the skyline, because of, like, the mountains up against that blue backdrop of the sky, or even, like, sunsets, stuff like that. You don't have that anymore. You have green mountains up against a gray skyline the majority of the time. I think it was blue, the first day we were here, or maybe the second day we were here, but since then they've been spraying, and it's just been a constant cloud cover the entire time. Not legitimate clouds, but like that thick haze type cloud. It's been constant.
Well, for the people out there that are going to tell me, and I get this all the time, well, it's happening everywhere. No, folks, it isn't. The reason why I picked this place to go take a look at, I reached out to Ariana Masters, and she's probably got the best, how do I say it, the best feel for where they're actually spraying. So she's got a really good platform. Everybody should check her out. So what she told me was, I said, Ariana, tell me where this isn't happening. She says, well, all of Central America isn't being sprayed. You may have one or two here and there, but centrally, all of Central America, most of South America wasn't being sprayed. The entire continent of Africa isn't being sprayed. And New Zealand. You know why New Zealand? Because that's where all the ultra wealthy build their redoubts. That's where it's not happening. So everywhere else, Canada, US, all of Europe, for the most part, every single place. Oh, and by the way, it's not happening in Israel. They don't get chemtrails in Israel. How about that? But every other country, for the most part, is getting hit. That's part of why I came down here. I'm like, I'm sick and tired of being poisoned. And folks, for those that are so inclined, let me tell you a little something that happened. We hit the ground here, and as soon as we got to the hotel, which is, you know, maybe a 30-minute ride away, as soon as we got here, Michelle jumped into the ocean, said she felt like $1 million. Well, I didn't have my swimming trunks on or anything, so I just kind of put my feet in there. I kept feeling the same feeling I think you can describe, William, is the whole time in North Carolina, I have this constant bombardment of anxiety. Can't explain it. Grounded constantly. I don't know where it's coming from. And it followed me all the way until yesterday. What did I do, folks? Went out on the volcanic black sand beaches here, laid on the ground on the beach, laid there on the ground, and let the water, because the water acts as a Faraday cage on your body, the salt water, which is part of the reason why I didn't want anybody in there during COVID. Laid out there on the beach. And I can honestly say the last time I felt that kind of peace, I was probably a teenager. And it told me right then and there, the toxic environment, not just the crap they're spraying from the sky, but we are also being bombarded. And I'm talking most of the United States. Folks, holler at me in the chat if you're experiencing this. It's not just what they're dropping from the sky. It's also what they're doing with these NexRad towers to Kentucky Fried your body. That's exactly why I'm looking for a place that still operates on 3G, whether it's it could be El Salvador, it could be Guatemala, it could be any of the Central American countries down here. You call them third world, but they seem like they're further ahead. I've never been at more peace, and I've only been here since Tuesday. Never been at more peace. And the only thing I did, I ground like nobody's business. Vitamin D is good. Everything's good. Eat a better diet than probably 99% of this planet. Fastidious compliance to a really good diet. And who knew? I found it right here in El Salvador. So yeah, I'll cover more about that later, but go ahead, son.
Well, hey, Conscious King 35 said my mic was up a little bit too high. Let me know if that's better, if I need to lower it a little bit more. But yeah, to get back to that feeling of like being in this area, it's like a combination of like lethargy, not really caused by anything, plus like constantly being on edge. It's like you're tired and you're on edge constantly, and there's no like known reason as to why. Like there's nothing causing it. Like I'm hanging out with the wife and baby. There's nothing to be stressed about. Like it just doesn't make any sense. Like there's no it just doesn't make any sense. Now real quick, as far as the audio goes, yeah, my mic is going to be a little bit hotter than Dad's, just because Dad doesn't have like I think he's doing this on his iPad right now, but anyway, the audio platform will be all leveled out and everything like that. So, yes, but sir. Yeah.
Now you can probably take it now just a little bit more.
Okay. How's that? Yep. Is that better? Cool.
Probably a little bit better. Yeah. It's probably closer.
Yeah. Now, as far as you don't have any kind of like on edge feeling at all. Like,
no, whatsoever. I did until I laid on the black volcanic, because the magnetism here, like Jack Cruz talks about, light water and magnetism. The water isn't fantastic here, but I brought a means to be able to purify the water while I'm here. So the water I'm drinking and your mom is drinking is fantastic. In fact, you would be shocked what I'm leaving behind in those jugs when I do the purifying. But anyway, it's crazy that people are actually drinking this. But I know how to make water right. So the magnetism here is on another level, because you're charged by the volcanoes around here. And so you're on this volcanic dust or volcanic sand. I'm laying out on it, and I feel a calmness, a peace that I didn't get just by having my feet in there. So these people probably think I'm crazy, because your mom and I, for a mile on either side of us, there is not a soul on this beach. Nobody. Wow. But if you go down to Bitcoin Beach like we did yesterday, man, it's teeming with every activity imaginable, and exactly the place I don't want to be. I'm not, right. I don't want to be around crowds, not unless I relate to those people. But yeah, down here, laid on the beach, did it again today, got up, O-Dark 30, went for an hour-long jog on the beach. Your mom was in the ocean the whole time, and feel like $1 million, and I've only been here since Tuesday. So I'm seeing the needle move in a massive way. And here's the crazy part about it. Had I known it, we'd have booked something different, but we are literally a football field away from a Wi-Fi tower. A football field away, and I'm having no problems down here because they're operating on 3G. So, yeah, there's a whole lot. Somebody was asking, let's see here. All About Health says, why do you think they're not spraying in Central America? I really don't know. I really don't know. Maybe they feel like this area is already captured. I don't know. All I know is that this is the closest place to us, from Central Mexico, supposedly, all the way down to most of South America. They're not spraying. And that's no accident. I don't know I can't tell you the why. I just know that it's not happening here. I'm looking at crystal clear blue sky all day, every day, no spraying.
Wow. That's wild. Well, before we get into the good news section, remember EMF Rocks, 10% off with promo code PERMA. This is EMF Rocks right here. It's a nice little, it's a bag full of Tesla crystals that'll, Dad actually did an interview with the guy. Go back and check that out. I don't remember the name of the interview, but he did an interview with was it Dr. Justin?
Yeah, Branson.
Justin Franson. Yeah, EMF Rocks, you can get 10% off with promo code PERMA. And then also Bond Charge, if you want some of these, as Dad calls them, ballin' glasses or BCGs, these red light glasses, then go to Bond Charge and you can get 15% off with promo code PERMA as well. Now, back to the good news section. So I had to pull up the articles. This is something usually Dad does, but I'm doing it this time. And the first article, and these are all going to be like good news articles, obviously. But the first article is the U.S. announces withdrawal of all remaining troops from Syria amid rising tensions with Iran. And obviously I'm calling this good news in hopes that these thousands of troops or this thousand troops comes back to the United States instead of going to some other, you know, deployment area or whatever. But there's an interesting part of this that stuck out to me while I was reading this article. The U.S. has begun withdrawing its remaining 1,000 troops from Syria in a phased two-month process, handing over key bases to the Syrian government, now controlled by Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, an al-Qaeda offshoot. So all this time and money and you know, lives that were spent fighting al-Qaeda just not too long ago, we're now handing over bases to al-Qaeda. Like, if you pay attention to the rhetoric, if you pay attention to what they're saying, they will constantly snitch on themselves. They will tell you, like, at one moment these people would be good guys and on our team and people were giving, like, you know, money and weapons to and whatnot, and then as soon as we need the next crisis, they're the next ones to be the bad guys. Now I guess al-Qaeda is an ally, somebody that we at least find safe to hand off a military base to. And I wonder if they'll be bringing all the assets at that base with the U.S. troops. Do you think we're going to be losing a bunch of more tanks and planes and ammos and weaponry and stuff like that? Or are we going to be fighting against those same weapons in the future?
Yeah, son, I think honestly, those troops ain't coming home. Somebody even said it in the chat. If anything, they're going to be redeployed to the next war of aggression that we're about to do, which is almost certainly going to be Iran at this point. Barring a miracle, it looks like that's what's going to happen next. And I really think they got to get the attention off this Epstein thing. I mean, they even took down one of the princes, supposedly, in the UK right now, Prince Andrew. There are people losing their ever-loving minds on Twitter, and they should be, regarding the most diabolical thing ever revealed to the American people. So anyway, they need to change the script, and they don't care. Remember what Henry Kissinger said, folks. Military men are big, stupid animals that should be used as tools for foreign policy. Your Secretary of State was quoted on record and saying that. And just because Kissinger, that diabolical demon, he said it, trust me, that is the mindset of all the people in power, especially in Washington. So if they lose a couple of thousand, if they lose half a million, if they lose a million, they couldn't care less. They really couldn't care less. Remember, they view our troops as big, stupid animals that should be used as tools for foreign policy. So, no, I think what's going to happen, they're either going to be redeployed, or they know that if something goes down, that's going to be the first place that Iran fires back. And then we're going to be calling Iran terrorists because they were attacked and then fired back. So, no, those guys ain't going anywhere. They're going to be redeployed.
Man. Well, oh, wait. Also, I thought we didn't have any troops in Syria. Where did these thousand, they just decided to go there on their own, huh?
Well, son, we got 900 military bases in 130 countries, and people have the audacity to get mad at me when I say we are an empire. You could take all of the military bases from the entire Roman Empire, the Byzantine Empire. I mean, add them all up, and they don't come up to 900. That's what we know about. That's not even talking about the clandestine bases. Yes, we are, in fact, an empire.
Yep. Next article. The top CDC vaccine official resigns amid growing scrutiny of agency's flawed science. The acting director, Jim O'Neill, resigns amid sweeping changes to vaccine policy under Health Secretary RFK Jr. They removed the COVID-19 vaccines from recommended schedules for healthy children and pregnant women, bypassing traditional advisory panels like ACIP. Now, in this article, they also talk about, Dr. McCullough argues CDC historically ties to big pharma compromise vaccine safety reviews, which this is something we all knew. We all knew this, but at least there's some sort of change going on with that. And it's like, it's bittersweet, I would say, because it's, are they going towards the right direction? Yes. But are they telling you the whole truth? Absolutely not. They're just like satiating. It seems like they're just satiating the public with little half truths and like small victories. I'm still putting it down as good news, because at least this article is saying like, it's putting it out there in the open. It's making the statement of like, yeah, the CDC is constantly like being bought out to, you know, skew their recommendations and whatnot. And also, every time you put out some sort of like medical alternative on YouTube, guess what's pinned under the video if it doesn't get taken down? What the CDC recommends. So I wonder if YouTube will be adjusting their policy as far as, you know, these alternative health remedies, or just just non-status quo recommendations. It's annoying every single time you put out a video even hinting at anything medical or a medical alternative, and you get a CDC stamp underneath of like just telling you a lie. Like, believe whatever the opposite of that little CDC stamp is telling you, and then you'll probably get closer to the truth. But yeah, what are your thoughts on that, Dad?
Yeah, I think it's just pablum for the American public. I mean, they throw us, what blows my mind is that we're given all these campaign promises. Trump never has to make an argument for himself because all of the Trump-tards do it for him. I mean, he completely sold the American public out, I don't even know how many times. And then this latest thing, like somebody wrote in the thing here, after Trump gave Monsanto / Bayer full reign, I'm going to be moving out of the country too. And I totally get it. I got a feeling we are going to see a record number of expats leaving the country because suddenly they come up with stories like the one you're talking about. They give you, and this is straight out of the pages of Machiavelli, y'all, straight out of the pages, where you trinkle out the good stuff, but you do the bad stuff all at once. There's a slicker way in which Machiavelli wrote it in The Prince. But that's exactly what they're doing. I said it before. Trump and his regime, and that's exactly what they are at this point, they've betrayed these people, but they know that they are so brainwashed that there is no lie that they will not buy. And I think this is just pablum for the American public.
And I think a lot of people are worried about, like, the reason they're not leaving the United States and looking for other countries is because they're probably concerned with being called like a traitor of some sort. But if you look at the majority of the inhabitants of the United States, at some point, your ancestor made the same decision. Like, let's say your ancestors came from Germany. At some point, they were like, I heard America has a lot more opportunity. I'm going over there. Or the United States has a lot more opportunity. I'm going over there. If you were coming in from like Ireland, You left Ireland because they ran out of opportunity or a tyrannical government or oppression or whatever the case may be. It's not because you can't stand the home country anymore. It's not because of that. It's because the opportunity wasn't presenting itself. There was no more opportunity there, or it was oppressive or whatever it may be. Like, going to a different country sometimes is the right doggone decision. And it's not because, like, screw this whole patriotic crap. Like, there's so many people who make stupid, dumb decisions in the name of being like patriotic. They'll tolerate way more by putting the label of patriotic on there. Like Dad said at the beginning of the podcast, if Kamala was doing this crap, all these Trump tards would be up at arms trying to stop it. But because Trump is doing it, it's okay, because these are patriotic Americans. At some point, you know, the juice is going to run out in America. Like, at some point, the opportunity is going to go away. It's a constant cycle. Every empire collapses, every single one of them. At some point, it's going to be the wise decision to go to the next land of opportunity to, you know, protect yourself and your family. Like, your duty is to your family, not these people who are too stupid to look up at the sky. Like, your duty is to your family. But, yeah, if you don't have any more on that, Dad, I'll go and get into the next.
No, I think you put the perfect exclamation point on there. You know, my biggest thing is when people criticize me for first of all, I don't do anything that everybody else is doing ever. In fact, if everybody is doing a certain thing, it is fundamentally in me to do the polar opposite. anybody that ever says anything to me, I've been in this game for as long as you've been alive, son. I've often said you're either an activist or an inactivist. Either way, you're involved. I've been fighting this fight since before, well, since you were born. Okay. Anybody else that's been doing it longer than me? Okay. And I mean, you name it. My name means protector. That's what William really means. It's Wilhelm, Wilhelmet, protector. And I've always tried to live up to my namesake. And I've been in this fight for a long, long time. And frankly, I'm sick and tired of fighting for people that don't want to stand up for themselves. I'm screaming from the rooftops, put myself in the crosshairs. I don't even know how many times over the years, lost a lot of jobs over it. And I'm sick and tired of fighting for people who have no intention of fighting for the damn selves. I'm sick of it. I'm sick and tired of it. And I'm sick and tired of an American public that is following a cult of personality instead of the Constitution. I don't care who it is. If you're not following the dictates of the Constitution, I got a problem with you. I don't care if it was Dr. Ron Paul. If he wasn't following, which he would never do, but I'm saying, if he isn't, if you're not with that, then I'm not with you. People are turning. Son, two big things made us say, okay, let's take this trip and go take a look. The two biggest needle movers. Number one was that Epstein list. Your mom and I couldn't figure out why we were at each other's throats. Couldn't figure it out. And then when we sat down, I was like, hold on a minute. None of this makes sense. Why are we doing this? We sat here, hashed it out, and come to figure it out that we were both so unbelievably irritated. Not that it was happening, because we already knew it was happening. It was the indifference of the American public. That's why I call it the United States of Amnesia. I was so embarrassed by the response of the American people. And then I got a friend of mine. I reach out to him saying, hey, what are your thoughts on this? He had no idea what I was talking about.
Yeah.
Okay, that was number one. And then this latest one is they're driving me from my country. You're going to be okay. And Trump tards are out there in support of this. Monsanto. Trump in bed with Monsanto. And near as I can tell, I think Bobby Kennedy Jr., if the reports were accurate, was actually okay with it. Folks, from what we just found out, that these ruling elite SOBs are eating children. Yep. And still nobody cares. So no, I didn't leave my country. My country left me.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better. Next good news article is the 15 best natural foods for your kidneys, which is I think that's an organ that a lot of people don't really think about. Most people think about like their digestion system. They also think about like their heart, their cardiovascular system. But I think the kidneys, and it might be because there's two of them and you're like, all right, I got a spare just in case. But the kidneys, I think, is something that a lot of people overlook. But these are the 15 best. And believe it or not, most people that are listening, these are all varieties that we can all grow at home, which is going to be even better for you. But cucumbers, it's a good passive way to rehydrate, getting some cucumbers because of the high water content. Cherries, cauliflower, red bell peppers, garlic, onions. Cranberries is one of those ones where it's going to be kind of site specific, especially when it comes to like harvesting. Usually it helps if you can flood the bog so all the ripe cranberries can go to the top. So that one's going to be a little bit more difficult. But blueberries, strawberries, raspberries, olive oil is going to be another one. If you're not living in a pretty close to Mediterranean climate, olives may be a little bit difficult to pull off. And then the amount of olives you actually need to grow to produce like a bottle of olive oil is quite a bit. Salmon. Now, this is another one where you're probably going to have to travel to go harvest it if you wanted to go that route, or you can buy it through, whoever you trust to buy salmon from. But apples, red grapes, mushrooms. Now, mushrooms is something, and this was just a broad statement of mushrooms, but mushrooms is something that all of us can grow. If you have land, if you don't have land, if you have a shelter that you live in, you have the opportunity to grow mushrooms. You can, and the active ingredient within the mushrooms was called ergosterol, a precursor to vitamin D. Adequate vitamin D levels are important for kidney and bone health. But mushrooms is something that you can grow just in a closet. They don't require much space. They don't have any light requirements. And then like one, let's say you put together like a sawdust bag and inoculated the sawdust with the mushroom spores. You can get quite a few harvests off that mushroom bag before you have to do it again. And it takes up no more space than like a small section on your desk if you wanted to. But yeah, those are most of those species or most of those varieties are all things that we can grow ourselves. Any comments on that, Dad?
Yeah, I was listening to Dr. Ed Group, who I'm a big fan of. He was talking about that they have record numbers of kidney issues right now. And he was saying that they believe that the number one reason was is that nobody ever has problems with the kidneys until the liver is overtaxed. And the liver right now, and most people, he blew my mind with this, is running at about 20% efficiency. And he says that if you can get it to go at 80% efficiency, your liver, then you probably never have any problems with the kidneys because it's kind of downstream. You know, they work hand in hand, but it filters it in a way that's just pretty astonishing. So anyway, when you do the liver detox from Dr. Group, I'm not being paid to say this. I'm just telling you what I do. If you do the liver detox, which, by the way, never do it on a plane ride to El Salvador. That's a whole story unto itself. But if you do the liver detox, and I've done like four of them in a row so far, and there's still stuff coming out of me. And folks, this goes right back to what we were talking about with the chemtrails. You're not even actively doing anything to poison yourself, folks. It's being foisted upon you. That's why I'm saying maybe getting out of the United States of Amnesia might be a good idea for a number of people. I got a feeling that here before long, a number of people are going to be running to the exits. But anyway, yeah, if you can take care of the liver, according to Dr. Group, you're taking care of the kidneys all at the same time.
And I got my own little good news. It's not an article, but just a statement real quick. So the other night, was it yesterday? I was frying up some meat. And whenever I was flipping the meat in the pan, some of the oil like splashed out of the pan and hit me directly on the finger. You can see it right there on my ring finger, right there on in the middle of that joint right there. And it was like immediate. It was like full contact. It was bad. That oil was hot and it immediately started blistering. So after I like got it cleaned up, washed my hands, I put some Comfrey Salve immediately on top of it. And that night I woke up the next morning. There's no pain there. There's no blister there. It's a little discolored, but that's perfectly fine. That's the power of this Comfrey Salve. I never tested it on a burn before, but it worked fantastic on a burn. It worked better on a burn than I think I've seen it work on like cuts and abrasions and things like that. So that's just another testament to Comfrey and these, you know, natural healing modalities actually work, y'all, and they work better most of the time, even according to the Mayo Clinic, the CDC, all these research papers they do. The natural remedies typically work, in their own words, far superior than the manufactured remedy that they've created.
Wish I had some of that Comfrey Salve down here because your mom didn't listen to me, got herself burned. UV index of about 11 here. Of course, I've, you know, acclimated myself to it, but yeah, she went and got herself burned. I wish I had some of that Comfrey Salve here. So, yeah, maybe next time. Somebody's asking, can they get more information on the liver detox? If you go to Dr. Ed Group's, go to globalhealing.com, I believe is the name of it. And then he has it there. You can order that. And, yeah, and I'm telling you what, don't blame me for what comes. When you're done with it, you're not even going to believe what comes out of you. I'll just leave it there. All right, so back to you.
So picture that while Dad's on a plane, and that's the story. Yeah. All right, let's get into, in Dad's words, my man Eric Sider.
Hey, Jeff Keats.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, put your mouth where your money is. Are we in the early stages of collapse? Plenty of people think so. Ray Dalio says we've crossed the line towards collapse. But is it too late to change our direction? I always hold out hope, but it would take something extraordinary at this point. Most people, and let's not forget that if you are listening to this PimpCast, you are not most people. But most people are either too distracted, too afraid, or too checked out to care, let alone take action. There is no better permaculture principle to apply right now than to make the least change for the greatest possible effect. Or another way to say it, as Jeff Lawton does, don't go bloodying your knuckles on doors that won't open. We need to focus our effort where it counts, and more importantly, work and support with those people who are about taking action. It is far past time to stop caring about political, religious affiliations. If you're about action and you follow permaculture ethics, then let's go. If you can turn a compost in a cat suit, good for you. I'm not asking you to raise a child together. We are in triage. We need to stop the bleeding, not argue about the color of the bandages. Everyone is talking about buying gold, silver, and Bitcoin. And if you are one of the few people left in the world with spare cash lying around, then sure, those are better store of value. Although Bitcoin, I trust less and less. Anything 100% digital can be compromised. But personally, I'd be looking past all those options. I find it curious that people think that the dollar will collapse and we will have a period of stability where everyone is trading gold and silver. If the dollar goes, the whole world is going with it. And you can't eat gold, silver, or Bitcoin. And even as basic metals, I'd rather have a garage full of steel and a welder than any of those options. But I'd be putting my surplus money, if I had any, into food or future food. Seeds, fruit trees, or I think the best option, a freeze dryer. How much do you think a backpack full of freeze-dried meals is going to be worth? You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider, your native permaculture t-shirts, the official pimp gear of this PimpCast, or remote permaculture consultation and design. Head over to ericsider.com, and for more info on my permaculture community group, head to permaculturefairoaks.org.
Man, he knocked it out of the park on that one. Now, real quick, I mean, on a couple of different, man, Eric, how does he know? Are you giving him hints about what we're going to be talking about?
I have no idea how he does this. I'm telling you, I have no idea how he just seamlessly knows what program we're going to do. I don't get it. I don't know, but man, it makes perfect sense.
Now, as far as the don't go blooding your knuckles, that's also in scripture. I think it's Matthew 10:14 of when the witnesses are going out there, or the apostles are going out, they were told, like, make the attempt, but if the people aren't willing to listen to what you're saying, but, and I'm roughly translating or roughly, you know, reciting it, but if the people aren't listening to what you're saying, dust off your feet. And then the key aspect is let your peace return back to you. That's a key aspect that I think a lot of us don't hear or don't remember in those times. And it comes to, like, whenever you're talking to people about scripture, or if you're talking to people about like waking up to what's actually going on in this world, make the attempt. And then if they don't listen, dust your feet off and let your peace return back to you. I know a lot of us will beat ourselves up about not being able to convince that person. And I've come to the understanding, like, there's nothing you're going to say that's going to convince anybody. At best, the best you can possibly hope for is that whatever you say cause them to ask a question. And then that's really should be the goal, is to get them to ask a question. But you got anything on what Eric was saying, Dad?
No, so much. I mean, he's hitting the nail right on the head, and I agree with him 100%. I mean, silver, gold, yeah, those things are good to have. Bitcoin, I'm like him on that one. I'm still, the jury's out. But at the same time, I don't know of a single, well, I don't know of too many. I know of one silver and gold maxi that's all about their food. But I have not met in 30 years of doing this kind of work, I haven't met a single Bitcoiner that had their food on lock. And I've met only maybe two or three people that were silver and gold maxis that had their food on lock. Eric's 100% right. I agree with him. You know what? If you got all the gold in the world, you got no food, I can get all your gold in the world for the food I have or that I know how to produce. Everybody's got it all backwards. Because if this thing falls apart, and then that he's bringing up another good point. Well, El Salvador operates on the U.S. dollar. Okay, so if it goes down, it's not just here, but you know, if it goes down, pretty much the whole world goes down. And what are you left with? Well, you know what? The people down here don't have as far to fall. I'm watching people pretty much walk, a lot of people in poverty living quite literally in tin shacks with dirt floors. I'm quite literally seeing this. And you know what? Things go sideways for them. They're barely going to notice. You know what? That's exactly how we live. So, I think you hit the nail right on the head.
And remember that warning from, was it Dan Pena about Bitcoin? He's like, the moment everybody finds out who actually created Bitcoin, it's going to crash overnight. People are going to be running away from it as fast as they possibly can. And I think there might be some information in those Epstein files about the creator of the Bitcoin. But that being said, WaveWatch, you can get $100 off with the promo code Billy100. I don't have it on right now, but the wife does. She used it for abdominal pain earlier, and then she also used it for UTI earlier as well. Not like today, but a couple of weeks back. That thing is awesome. Every time I go to a festival, there's always somebody coming up to me telling me like their testimony with the WaveWatch. That WaveWatch is awesome. Also, Micronic Silver, 10% off with promo code PERMA. That Snoop Dogg Silver, Micronic Silver. Dad's done plenty of episodes with that guy as well. Go back and check out those episodes. Now we're into the main topic. Before you become an expat, you better know these things. All right. Go ahead, Dad. Did you want to kick it off or you want me to?
Yeah. So, I mean, it only makes sense that I'm down here in El Salvador with Michelle. And like I said, it's a multifaceted thing. And I'll probably talk more about it in my Sunday morning talk because there's a whole lot in my cabeza right now that I'm trying to crank loose. But I've even seen a number of comments right here in the chat of people thinking, you know what, I'm going to get on the first thing smoking too. But folks, you want to think about this first. I mean, like, first off, just look, you can't just move somewhere because you like it or you think you might. I mean, what visa will you qualify for? You got to ask yourself about that. And how long can you stay? Can you get permanent citizenship? Because to my understanding, I think they were shutting it off in Mexico. That's how many people, expats, left America to go to Mexico. And, you know, you got to ask yourself, what are the renewal requirements? And then here's another big one, too. Unless you're a digital nomad, like somebody just said here in a little bit, a lot of the people doing Bitcoin, like Gene6453 says, Bitcoin people that sit on their butt on a computer are the sit on your butt computer types. Yeah, by and large, that's what I've observed as well. Now, if you're a digital nomad and you do your work over the computer, yeah, I guess the world is your oyster. But if you're somebody like me, who's going to have to physically do the work because I'm the world's biggest nincompoop when it comes to this tech stuff. I need somebody like Michelle to basically handle that end of it. But you know what? Where I'm a whiz is I'm a pretty good craftsman when it comes to electrical work. I've been doing it for 30 years. But can I do it in El Salvador? Yeah, I can, as a matter of fact. You know, there's a whole lot of construction that's going on around here. Could I be running electrical crews? Absolutely. Is it something I want to do? Not at all. But it is something I do have to seriously consider. You know, but you got to ask yourself, how are you going to make money there? Because there's a whole lot of jobs in Mexico that you're not going to do unless you are a digital warrior. If you're not making your money online, you're not doing that job in Mexico. And then you got to be asking yourself also, if you're working for a big outfit with AI starting to take over more and more and more, are you going to be able to maintain that job with AI? That's another big one right there. But I got a job. I got a couple of jobs that are AI proof. Actually, several. I want to see an AI butcher a cow. Can't do that. I want to see AI go out there and design and produce a permaculture food forest. Ain't, well, you can design it, probably, but you can't put it in. And I want to see AI do a skilled trade. None of the above. So anyway, ask yourself, you know, can you just move there? But in most cases, you can't. So consider that.
And if you are trying to move, you're more likely to get approved if you're bringing jobs there. Like if you're going there and just taking up jobs, there's a higher chance you're going to get denied. But if you're like, hey, I'm going to come and I'm bringing jobs with me, I'm going to have more jobs available for your local population, higher likelihood that you're going to get approved. But the next thing to think about is like tax implications. Like if you're doing one of those like halfbackers where you live maybe in Central America, like let's say you have your own business and you're living in Central America during the cold winter months or something, and then you move back to the United States during the warm summer months, like are you going to have to pay taxes in both locations? Are you paying taxes to the United States and taxes to whatever country you're living in as well? Like there's things to think about there. Like, are there ways to get out of taxes? Like, is it, it's just all stuff that you have to figure out before making the move, is the whole tax situation. And it's going to be different depending on what country you go to or how long you stay in a particular country as well. Like there were a lot of people, I remember there was, when I was living in Australia, there was this one lady who was, she had a 9-month work visa in Australia and she had to leave. I remember she was saying that she picked her passport, where her passport was located. Like she had a couple of options of picking where she was, which passport she was going to use or which passport she was going to sign up for. And it was like one passport, and I don't remember the countries, but one passport, she would have to pay taxes back to her home country. And then going with this other passport, it was a little bit more restricted on the other countries that she could just freely go to, but she didn't have to pay taxes going back to her home country. And she only, the only taxes she had to pay were like the income taxes and the sales taxes in Australia. But yeah, get the taxes squared away. How's your business going to be affected by that? If you have a business, is your business going to be affected by the paying two taxes in two different countries? Or because your business might be based in the United States, are you only paying taxes to the United States? So yeah, these are all things you got to think about before you move, especially if you're bringing a business with you.
Now, the next one I'm going to talk about, most digital nomads are not going to worry about it. They're more than happy to live in an apartment or something like that. For me, that's not an option. I don't live in cities. I just do not do well there. I need my space. I got to be out and about. So I'm going to need land. So you got to ask yourself, can foreigners buy land outright? I mean, are the restrictions near a border or a coastline? It might be land that you need or land that's ideal for the work that you know how to do. I'm not the city type. I mean, I can tolerate any place for a short period of time, but I've got to be out and away from things. That is a necessity for me. And then you got to ask yourself, in some places, and I've heard about this being a problem in places like Guatemala, but how secure are your property titles? You know, some countries are welcoming, others are a little bit complicated on this stuff. So you got to be thinking about all that stuff, because for me, if I don't own this land and I don't own it outright, or if I don't have a very, very like 100-year lease on it, the answer is going to have to be a resounding no.
Yeah. Real quick, FFSYAL was asking about a consultation while I'm here in North Carolina. If anybody, since I am in North Carolina, if anybody's wanting a consultation, shoot me an email at thepermacultureconsultant@gmail.com. It's linked in the show notes, I believe. But the next thing you need to check out is the political stability. Like, is this going to be a target by the CIA in the near future? Those are things you need to worry about. Is the government basically run by some narcos? Those are things to think about. Like, what's been the trajectory of that political system for the past 5 years? Have there been constant upheavals and revolutions and things like that? Or has it been pretty stable? Or has it gone 1,000 days without a single homicide? That's something to take note of. That's a big one right there. You can't even say that about DeKalb, Texas. You can't say DeKalb, Texas, a small town, very small town in DeKalb. DeKalb's a very small town, but you can't even make that statement. You can't, like, there hasn't been 1,000 days without a homicide in that town. There hasn't been 1,000 days without homicide in Mars Hill, North Carolina. Yeah, so for a whole country to have 1,000 days without a single homicide is very, very impressive. But on that same note, you have to ask, is that a tyrannical government? Like, are they constantly at your throat about everything? Is it a police state? Are they basically under martial law? These are all things you got to figure out before you move, for sure. You're definitely not going to want to find out after you've made the move, because you spend a lot of time, effort, and resources on getting that move squared away. just think about it. Like, is this, or are you going to position yourself so where it doesn't matter what the political climate is doing? Like, are you building your, like, do you have enough like money to basically build a compound, a self-sufficient compound with employees to run the place? Are you going to be able to do that and be, you know, oblivious to whatever is going on with the political system? Things to figure out. And also, like, a, you know, a monetary evaluation, and like, is my money going to go further there? Can I buy more with less there? Can I buy, can I set this compound up in El Salvador or whatever country that would only get me like a 2-bedroom house in the United States? Those are all things to think about. On to you, Dad.
Yeah, Gene, I know you're in Costa Rica. She says, don't be afraid of Central American countries. We treat people pretty well. No, I mean, that's been my experience every time I've been here, whether it was Panama or here, always beautiful people. No problem. But I'm curious, are there any chemtrails in Costa Rica? So I want to talk about crime and enforcement. And it's kind of on the point, the country William's talking about going 1,000 days with no murders, it's El Salvador. Once the most violent country in the world. And now, because he locked up all those mafiosos, everything's cool. Everybody's getting along great. I mean, you could walk around completely safe. I'm in probably one of the poorest areas intentionally. I'm in one of those poor areas right now, and I never felt safer. I'll tell you what, I don't feel this safe in my own country. I'm dead serious. But you got to ask yourself, is crime actually low, or is it just a statistic? Remember, you have that polecat Winston Churchill that said, yeah, you got lies, damn lies, and statistics. Now, you want to make sure that what they're telling you isn't just, you know, is it reported differently? Are the laws actually being enforced consistently? You know what? From what I'm seeing around here, look, if you're a mafioso, you're going to the slammer. No get out of jail free cards. And that's why he threw in the judges as well, because these nasty judges were just letting these mafiosos run all, you know, all over the place. And then you got to ask yourself, how are foreigners treated by law enforcement? You know what? I'm walking around here. I didn't have it in my I had it in my check bag, but I had my pocket knife and my Leatherman. And obviously they wouldn't let me get on the plane with that, so I put it in my check bag. I'm putting it on here, but they're magazine holsters. I'm walking past cops, man. They don't even bat an eye. So, you know, perception and reality can differ depending on the place. So make sure you do your due diligence.
Yeah. Next one is healthcare access. Now, a lot of us are growing our healthcare, right? There's a lot of the reason a lot of people get into growing their own food is to get rid of whatever like illnesses or diagnoses that they were given by the mainstream health professionals. So a lot of us are growing our own healthcare. We intentionally try to live naturally healthy lives, so we don't have to use a whole lot of healthcare. But let's think about like emergency, you know, healthcare. Like, oh snap, I was in a motorcycle accident, I got my femur sticking out of my thigh. Like, is that going to be an issue in whatever country you move to? Like, are they equipped? Are they going to be, let's say you move to a very rural area in, like, say Costa Rica or El Salvador, and the only doctor you got is a vet, and he's topped off half the time anyway. Like, is that your only, you know, option of getting this femur put back together? Or is that basically going to be a paraplegic sentence, or like a amputation, or is that going to be potentially a death sentence because you have bone exposed on the outside of your body? There's a lot of potential infections that could occur there. Is the country you're moving to equipped to handle those freak accidents? Because that's really what a lot of us, as far as healthcare goes, should be concerned with. Like, a lot of the chronic issues, you notice, like, you know, the healthier your life gets, a lot of those chronic issues tend to go away. But it's still, you can't be like, you're not impervious to these freak accidents that occur every once in a while. So is the country you're moving to, is that going to be a problem if any of those freak accidents were to occur? Definitely something to check out, especially if you have little ones, especially if you have like little kids and stuff.
Yeah. I would say cost of living versus earning potential. Now, folks, this is a big one. Now, if you're a digital nomad, because I know a lot of them that are in that space, you know, they all pretty much have the same kind of lives, a lot of these expats that I'm aware of. And a lot of them have social media platforms. They all may live in apartments. They eat out every meal because they can afford to do it. That's not how we roll here. I mean, it isn't. I mean, so you got to ask, is it cheaper or just different? Because where I am, I don't care where I am in the world, I'm still going to cook my own food. There's something, it's like you wipe your own butt, okay? So I cook my own food. And there's a reason, sorry to get so descriptive like that, but there's a point that I'm making here is that no matter where I live, yeah, even where I live right now, we can afford to eat out every day, but I don't, because it's so much better if I know that I can source those ingredients. And there's also a feeling of, just a warm feeling of knowing that I grew this, I harvested it, and it's in my freezer or it's on my stove. So can you maintain your income remotely? You got to ask yourself, like I said, what happens? You're over there doing a digital nomad job that you're able to do right now. But I'll tell you what, AI is going to knock out a whole lot of white collar jobs, and people haven't even woken up to that yet. So you got to ask yourself, is this something that you could maintain if you didn't have that job over there? And then you got to ask yourself, you know, with that cost of living, how volatile is the local currency? You know, a low cost of living doesn't matter if your income isn't stable. So that's really what you got to take away from that.
Yeah. The next one is cultural fit in language. Like, do you speak the language of the country? If not, that might be a problem. Now, you can kind of get away with it with like modern technology. Like, I know a lot of there's an app that you can get for your phone where you use your camera, and let's say you're using your camera and you hold it over a sign, it'll translate that language into whatever language you want to. So it'll take it from like Japanese into English without having to like ask for translations or anything like that. But communicating with other people, if you're using like a translator to communicate with other people, A, there's going to be a lot lost in translation because these apps don't translate perfectly. And then also, that's a long way to, it takes a lot of time to communicate with people like that if you're constantly using, you know, a translator or something like that. Also, do you understand the social norms? Like, when dad does this in Kuwait, like, does that mean you just flipped everybody off? Or, you know, like, you got to be willing to adapt and change to the social norms. Like, you can't just be, I know a lot of people have, when they're annoyed with Americans going to other countries, it's because the Americans will try to impose their social norms to these other countries. Like, if you're in Rome, act like a Roman. If you're in Greece, act like a Grecian, like, or a Greek, whatever it is, act like those people. I mean, don't, like, you know, stray away from your morals or what you know is correct, but don't do things that's going to intentionally piss people off or be like abrasive to other people. Like, take, they will appreciate you wanting to learn their country. Look at the, okay, you know who, like, people automatically love in the United States? Immigrants that want so badly to be an American. Like, they're like, I did a consultation for this dude. He was from, it was basically Africa's version of North Korea. And when I went to his property, he was doo-doo-dooed in all United States. He had a United States flag button-up shirt. He had a United States flag pants, like jeans almost. And then he had a United States, like, cowboy hat and boots. You weren't telling this dude he wasn't an American. And he was open carrying two revolvers in Georgia. But yeah, that's what these other countries want to say. They want you to be enthusiastic about learning about their culture and becoming one of them. You moved to that country for a reason. So yeah, don't try to impose your cultural norms or your American arrogance onto these other countries.
Yeah, great point. Great point there. Man, I'd love to take a look at that guy. He probably looked like one of the village people. So, yep. community and support network. Now, here's a troublesome part, at least for me. You know, are you building isolation or connection? And then you want to ask, is there an expat community? I would say that's a double-edged sword because based on what William just said, you want to try to find a way to graft yourself in to that community. It's probably a good idea to hang out or to at least understand some of the people in that expat community. But I'm also going to know that a lot of them are not like me. They're not here to raise their food. They're not here to do what I'm doing. A lot of them are Bitcoin millionaires, at least here in El Salvador. And I know that at the end of the day, there may not be a whole lot in common, but they may have connections that might make sense to me. So you want to be able to keep those doors open. So are you moving toward people or away from frustration? In my case, it's a little bit of both, because loneliness is one of the biggest hidden expat challenges that I'm starting to find out. Now, Michelle and I are perfectly content. Perfectly content. I mean, we do it right now. We can be at our property in North Carolina, and Michelle may not leave for weeks at a time. And it's no difference. I would rather be isolated than be in the company of a bunch of morons.
That's a fact. Last one I have is a long-term exit strategy. Will you be able to come back to the United States if things pop off there? Like, do you have another country you could potentially go to if things don't work out there? Like, especially if you're not, okay, let's look at what the Nazis did in Argentina, right? They obviously escaped the Germany, went to Argentina, built their own community. Now you got a bunch of blonde hair, blue eyed people showing up in Argentina that speak only German. They had no alternative. They had to build a community there. Are you going to the next country with that same sort of idea of like, hey, there is no coming back. I got to build a community here, and it's going to be permanent for multiple generations. Or, and it wasn't just the Nazis, by the way, it was also some Italians as well that went down to Argentina and other countries as well. But what's your exit plan? Like, you have an exit, you have a bug out plan for your house here in the United States, and that's in the United States. You're going to need to come up with a bug out plan for whatever country you're going to. Especially if you stick out like a sore thumb in that particular country where they don't have to come up and talk to you to find out that you're a foreigner. They can just look at you from a distance and realize like, oh, that dude ain't from here. Especially if you took no time or effort into like assimilating into the country. You need an exit plan. You need some sort of bug out plan. No matter where you are in the world, you should always have like a backup plan. Are you going to be able to leave the country in that case? Or are you going to have to kind of like shelter up and like stay in that country until things like relax a little bit, and then you can bug out? Do you still have connections and ties in other countries or from your home country or from the United States? Do you still have access to some of the people or communications with some of the people that you left in the United States? Are you still on good terms with those people? So these are all things, no matter where you are, even if you're staying in the United States, you need a bug out plan. And definitely come up with at least one or two bug out plans if you're moving to a different country, and maintain contact with people in the United States just in case. You just never know. El Salvador could be the next target for the CIA. The rest of Central and South America was. I don't see why that's not a possibility now, especially if they're doing so well. That's usually going to make themselves a target. Like, hey, we collapsed you for a reason. You're supposed to stay like that and stay under our thumb. So, yeah, these are all things you should think about for sure.
I'm glad you brought that up, son, because Operation Condor, a lot of Americans have never heard of it. I think it was 9 countries that we overthrew during Operation Condor. And most of them were in South America. But we don't talk about, you know, what the Clinton administration did to El Salvador and how honestly, it was the United States is the reason under the Clinton administration why El Salvador became what it did for a long, long time, why these people were in a bad way for the longest time, why they were overridden with gangs for the longest time. Yeah. Operation Condor, we overthrew. Read Confessions of an Economic Hitman by John Perkins. Read Vulture's Picnic by Greg Palast. You're going to find out, folks, that we are not the good guys in most of these conflicts. And once again, it was Kissinger, that same polecat who's burning right now, almost certainly, that gave the green light for all this stuff. And of course, Nixon and all the rest of them, they were in on it too. Yeah, there's a whole lot of places around here that should hate us, but you know, they're forgiving people and maybe they don't. Now, to William's point, everybody comes up to me speaking Spanish. Everybody. And it's one of those places where I can really, really blend in. It's why the CIA was so interested in maybe having a discussion with me at one point in time. Because I do blend in most places. When I was in the Middle East, they spoke Arabic to me. When I'm in, you know, Central America, they speak Spanish to me. So be thinking about, you know, like William said, can you blend in there? Is there a community? I mean, I know we've given you a lot, and I got a feeling that as in the coming days, I think a lot of people are going to start giving this a serious consideration because, folks, we are on the slipperiest slope that I can recall in American history right now. This is, it's not fun to be an American abroad. In fact, anybody ask me, I'm Canadian till I get home, especially with all the dumb, I'm joking, of course, but look, there's a lot of weird stuff going on in the world, and I know people are going to need some options. So, yes, and I guess that's going to wrap it up for me. I guess I'll go back out to the beach, hang out with Michelle, and, you know, there's some interesting characters out here, I think, right now. But by and large, we pretty much got the beach to ourselves.
Man, that's awesome to hear. Now, before we do end this, I guess, final thoughts on my part. I saw a couple of people comment in the chat that apparently Dr. Elaine Ingham has passed away. Which horrible to hear. I think people who were close to her or who like listened to her content pretty frequently kind of knew that was coming. Like it's not too surprising or too shocking. It is still sad. And one of the biggest things that I'm sad about in regards to that is that the only reason that Soil Food Web School was taught the way it was and as stable as it was is because she cracked the whip, and she had to crack the whip quite a few times with some of the people that she had hired, some of the employees. I mean, in fact, there was one time where she fired all her employees. And now Mr. Wood's saying, who is that? Dr. Elaine Ingham is where we went to find out a lot of information about like soil biology, like the composting, what these organisms are actually doing in the soil, the benefits of these organisms, and then also how to identify these organisms under the microscope. This is where we learned like our microscopy skills was all from Dr. Elaine Ingham. And she did a lot of the back work on figuring this out and then was persistent about putting this information out. I mean, there were constantly people. I mean, look at who she's going against: Big Ag, Big Pharma, Monsanto, things like that. Like, she's directly flying in the face of all these people and then showing like exactly how the fertility cycle, the nutrient cycling occurs in the soil. But the only reason that she had to crack the whip a few times when it came to the Soil Food Web School. And I would be very, very cautious about the information that's going to be put out after her passing. It's sad to hear, and it's even sadder to realize like the school that she built, the legacy that she created, might be derailed all because of a few ex-teachers with a huge ego problem, to the point like whenever I was doing the microscopy, you would have, just because these people were ex-teachers and because they're ex-teachers, they think that they can come up with their own curriculum. It wouldn't stick to what Dr. Elaine Ingham was teaching. You'd had different standards depending on who was grading your test. So if one person was grading your test and he was like, hey, you did fantastic, like you're on the right track, keep doing what you're doing, this is perfect, you'd have somebody else grade your test or grade your microscopy, and they're like, ah, you screwed up here, you did this wrong, you did this wrong. And you realize like, oh, none of these points are against the actual work. It's just what format that this person actually prefers. It turned into a bunch of garbage. But yeah, sad to hear that she has passed. But I would just be cautious. Look at all of her old interviews, the interviews that she has done, the information that she has directly put out. That's what I would pay attention to. And I'd be very cautious about the information that comes out after her passing.
Yeah, I was bummed to hear about it yesterday. That's when I first found out about it. I got an email saying that she'd passed, and I believe some people are asking, what did she die from? I know she had some sort of brain issue, and I'd long suspected, and I don't know this for sure, but I'd long suspected that maybe she got the jab. And I wonder if to a certain extent it wasn't related, which seems absolutely insane. When you look at who she fought against, and what she stood up against, and the pioneer she was, if she did get that jab, it's not congruent with what she taught. But I have long suspected, when we kind of saw that her mind was, you know, kind of fading, I wonder if there wasn't. I've wondered that for quite a while. But yeah, she was a shining star in this space and did so much. And she will be missed. So I'm so sorry to hear that she's passed, but Yes, people like us that are going to rock on with, you know, the stuff she taught us. So yeah. William, Michelle, and I are all students of hers, and feel lucky to have been trained by her. So, yeah, sorry to hear her pass.
Yeah, she was definitely an awesome teacher that put out a lot of information, no matter what the roadblocks were or the walls that were put up in front of her. But you got any last words, Dad?
No, man. I just, you know, on the heels of Elaine, you know, nobody would have ever heard of Elaine Ingham if she didn't buck the system. Okay. We got a whole lot of people out there right now telling us that, oh, just forget about Epstein. Well, if Elaine would have taken that approach, well, we wouldn't know what we know about soil science right now. She was a true, real pioneer. So when they tell you, don't worry about the Epstein files, there's nothing there, and then you see evidence to the contrary, or they say, you know what, glyphosate's cool now, drink all you want, it's just perfectly fine. Just remember heroes like Elaine Ingham, and remember, she fought the good fight. So we need to try to follow in her steps.
Yeah, if you learn anything from Dr. Elaine Ingham, it's definitely buck the system. And if you know that what you, like your path is, you know, correct, if that's the right thing, keep fighting for it until everybody knows about it. But y'all, this was the first podcast I led. Hopefully I didn't do too bad. But that being said, stay alert.
Stay alive. You did a fine job, son.
It's done from soul. What the world's been from the smallest sprout to the harmony begin in the cycle of life. But imagine the line to the beat, still the fire and thrive.
You gotta end the show.